Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
The Irish Medical Organisation has said there's a very real likelihood that some patients will have died as a result of avoidable delays in the health system in recent weeks. There were 534 patients waiting for a bed this morning, and that's according to the INMO, the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, well down on the 931 record admitted patients waiting for a hospital bed this day last week, but still a significant number, over 530. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Matthew Sadlier, who's chairman of the consultant committee of the IMO, and also by Dr. Mel Bates, who's medical director of DDoc, the out-of-hours GP service for Dublin. You're both very welcome to the programme. Dr. Matthew Sadlier, if I can come to you first of all, you say people will more than likely have died as a result of this huge pressure on our health system in recent days.
Well, yes. I mean, there's evidence from study done in the NHS that looked at many thousand patients, and that a delay in patients who have been admitted to hospital remaining in emergency department going up towards caused an increased mortality among that group. And that is our big concern, that this pattern that we see where patients attend emergency department, are assessed medically, are deemed suitable for admission to the hospital, but that there is no hospital bed, they are left waiting in the emergency department pending a hospital bed, you know, has a negative impact on the overall care of those patients, and thus would have a negative impact potentially on the mortality rate that one would see down the line.
And in a way, people will say, why didn't the IMO or why didn't doctors shout more loudly about this beforehand? I mean, is that a fair thing to say?
I think our organisation has had, you know, multiple at every meeting we've had, at every annual general meeting where we get press coverage, at every, we've been shouting about this issue of under-resourcing and the under-physical capacity of the number of beds in our health service for as long as I'm involved in the organisation, which is 20 years.
So the government isn't listening, is that it?
Well, it doesn't seem to be. We have, as I say, I've worked in the health service for 24 years, and all we are seeing are structures of reform of the health service. It needs to be reformed. We need to have a new structure. We need to have the HSE. Now we've got launch care. Before that, we'd health boards. Without any of these leading to actually meaningful reforms on the ground, with an increase in physical infrastructure, with an increase in capacity, with an increase in ability to treat the population.
So the logic of what you're saying then is that the government and the HSE have preventable death in their hands.
Well, that is one way of that is certainly an interpretation, but we
but
know
is it, is that,
that
that's exactly
service,
what you're saying, isn't it? Because you're saying that this pressure and this structural deficiency is causing preventable death. You're saying you've highlighted it over many years, and that there hasn't been adequate action.
Well, obviously, I mean, you know, if the health service is not at the point where it's able to provide maximum care to the patients who attend it, then obviously that has consequences for those patients' treatment, and which has obvious long-term down-the-line consequences of outcome. And that is what we're saying, and that is what we have been saying as an organisation for many, many, many years. We have had a population of 3.5 million that has become a population of 5.3 million, which has significantly moved from about 11% over 65. I think we're somewhere around 16% of the population is over 65, and that will progress. That means we are going to need more hospital beds. We have an ageing population that is going to need more healthcare going forward, and in order to cope with that, we need more physical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we have been talking about since 2000, since the bed report was published at that time, when we identified, and the health service itself identified, that it needed approximately, I think at the time, 5,000 extra beds by the time we got to now. But even their population projections at the time, our population has exceeded that.
Well, we're obviously still in the middle of this storm, no matter what the solutions long or medium term are, but we're in the middle of this storm right now. Say with me, Matthew Sadlier, because as I say, I'm joined by Dr. Mel Bates as well, and in efforts to alleviate or mitigate the storm that's happening in the emergency departments up and down the country, the government and the HSE have been asking people to find alternatives to arriving at EDs and to go to GPs if at all possible. First of all, Dr. Mel Bates, you're the medical director of DDoc, which is an out-of-hours doctor's service for the Dublin area. How have you been coping over the last week or two? Because I assume you're getting increased demand as well.
Absolutely. We expect to get increased demand around the Christmas time. And that's usually 10 days to 2 weeks of extra shifts for local GPs who are getting involved in this. But it looks like we have to prepare for the possibility this may stretch out for 5 or 6 weeks.
5 or 6 weeks more?
No, I'm just talking about the Christmas period.
Since the start, okay.
Usually 2 weeks, and we're budgeting for Christmas, if you like, in inverted commas.
I understand.
Lasting so, 6 weeks.
People, Mel, are saying that it's very hard. They're waiting a significant amount of time, more than they're used to, I suppose, for a GP out of hours service. Is that something that you can attest to as well?
Absolutely. There's no question about it, and we're very concerned about that. And so we've had a discussion. We've got increased shifts organised in the last week and for the next few weeks coming up. There's an initiative to extend hours in GPs, and that's a decision made individually by GPs. But all we're trying to do, there's a lot of GPs as well who are keeping specific acute appointments. So there's a list of appointments that don't become available until 9 o'clock in the morning each day, so that they're available for acute illness. And the preventative stuff like diabetes care and blood pressure care is being shifted off for a couple of weeks while this surge is going on.
Is there anything people can do to mitigate or help people on the front line like yourselves? Or have people forgotten the COVID protocols now, the social distancing and the washing of hands and the mask wearing?
Well, I'm not so sure about them forgetting the COVID protocols, but the central COVID message was, this is a viral illness, you're going to be sick for a week, you're going to need to take paracetamol and ibuprofen, you may need to take time in bed. And that seems to have been forgotten a bit, because most of the illnesses that are causing this surge at the moment are viral, and they won't get better with antibiotics. So although people's expectation has increased quite a bit in the last while, maybe they're just, they're fed up with 2 years of COVID, and on top of this Christmas, everybody being so sick. And there's no doubt about how sick people are. There's a lot of people who really are very sick at the moment.
Can I ask you about your colleague, Dr. Matthew Sadlier there, his assertion about preventable death and the weaknesses, the pressure on the system, the health system generally, leading to preventable death of patients who should have been seen possibly quicker and more efficiently. Is that something you'd agree with?
Well, it's a capacity issue. So, I'm aware of the research he's referred to, and that's very solid research. So the longer people are waiting in ED, particularly the elderly, then the higher the mortality. So that has to translate into an individual human being dying. So from that point of view, yes. But from GP out of hours and GP generally, this group of patients you're talking about now are all people who should be in hospital anyway. And our job is to make sure that they get there as promptly as possible.
Can I ask you finally, Dr. Matthew Sadlier, in terms of the pressure on the hospital system and the record numbers, for example, of people on trolleys, and the pressure and the burnout being experienced by healthcare workers, do you think we've crossed the line here? Or do you think once this pressure dies down, it'll go back to business as usual?
Well, this is our concern. I think we've long since crossed that line, this is coming on the back of COVID. This is coming on the back of a period where we're finding it increasingly difficult to recruit NCHDs or junior doctors, to give them a more common name in our hospitals, where we have multiple vacant consultant posts. We are facing an international global medical workforce shortage. We are competing against countries like Australia and Canada for doctors, and frankly, we are losing in those competitions being able to recruit doctors. If the solution to this problem is making the doctors that we have in our system work more hours, that will lead to more burnout, and that will lead to doctors leaving. I mean, every consultant who works in hospital medicine in this country works, Monday to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Most doctors work on a shift system to cover urgent care at the weekends. Doctors have never been lacking in responding to emergencies such as this, but there's only so much that the system can take before the system will start to break, and that is our concern.
Dr. Matthew Sadlier, Chairman of the Consultant Committee of the IMO, and Dr. Mel Bates, Medical Director of DDoc, thank you both very much indeed.